Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're jumping into the source material covering the San Francisco 49ers' 26-8 victory over the Cleveland Browns in Week 13.
And if you just look at that final score, you really miss the entire story. Our whole mission today is to kind of cut through that number and show you how San Francisco managed it.
Right, because this was a game that was, it was defined by external forces.
Oh, absolutely. The context is everything here. This wasn't just a football game. It was a battle against swirling wind, bitter cold.
Conditions that just completely changed the game plan.
It did. It affected everything, especially throwing the ball on special teams. The source commentary is so clear on this. SF got the win, but it was a gritty, pressure-packed, ugly kind of game.
Yeah, a real grind. And the difference between winning and losing here really came down to who could, capitalize on a few key moments.
Exactly. Who maximized those little windows of execution, especially on special teams, and who just sort of succumbed to their own weaknesses.
So let's start right there with the atmosphere, because it set the tone for the entire day, the wind.
Yeah, and this wasn't just a breeze. The commentary says it was swirling all day long, a major, major factor for start to finish.
So much so that the pregame warm-up with Sky Moore, they described it as an adventure just for him to try and catch punts.
Can you imagine just trying to track the ball when the trajectory is completely unpredictable?
And that adventure in warmups turns into maybe the most pivotal play of the first half.
The 66-yard punt returned by Moore.
It was huge. Bohorquez punts from his own 18, and Moore just navigates this swirling chaos, finds a crease, and boom.
Instantaneously flips the field. A massive special teams play.
And that's why we dig into these details, because that field position leads directly to the Christian McCaffrey 1-yard touchdown, which on paper sounds kind of boring.
Right, a 1-yard run, who cares? But you have to look at the blocking.
It wasn't just CMC being CMC. The breakdown shows Brindle, he gets up to that second level, seals off the linebacker.
Creates that little seam, and CMC just goes right off his backside, shoulders square, punches it in. Perfect execution at a critical moment.
But even with that big play, look at the halftime score. It's only 10-8 49ers.
Which tells you just how tight this thing was. And part of that lead came from Matt Gay, the kicker.
Who was just elevated off the practice squad, right? Panero was out with a hamstring?
Yep. So Gay comes in and has to kick this 25-yard field goal. And even that wasn't clean.
I love this detail. The source material describes it as going boinking through.
It hit the upright.
It did. I mean, that's how close this was. They needed every inch, every ounce of luck to get those 3 points before the half.
And those tiny margins, that's what makes the ground game so fascinating to look at, because it was a really contradictory picture, especially for the 49ers.
Okay, let's talk about CMC, because it's wild to read this. At one point in the game, he's averaging just 1.9 yards per carry.
For him, that's a shockingly low number. It's inefficient.
So how do you square that with the fact that he was also incredibly effective in short yardage and goal line situations?
Well, the sources suggest a couple of things. First, the Browns' D-line was just stout on early downs. They were winning those matchups.
Okay.
But second, CMC was just running with this savage determination. The overall yardage was ugly, but the description was that he was careening off bodies to get those tough yards.
So he was getting the yards when the system broke down.
Exactly. Yeah. Securing that first touchdown, moving the chains when they absolutely had to. It wasn't pretty, but it was effective.
Now let's flip it. Let's look at the Browns' running back, Judkins, the number one rookie rusher in the entire league.
And you saw flashes. I mean, he broke a tackle for a big first down, had that beautiful 17-yard run that Leon sprung with a key block.
But his success was just in.
Yeah.
It was totally undermined by their offensive line situation.
And we have to hammer this home because it defines their whole season.
Yeah.
They have used 4 different starting left tackles.
Cool.
And 3 different starting right tackles just this season.
Wow. You can't build any consistency like that. It's impossible.
It is. And you see the result on that huge 4th-and-1. Judkins just gets stuffed. Cold. There's no push. The pocket collapses. It's just over.
And when you can't rely on the run in those key spots, all the pressure shifts to the quarterback.
Especially in that wind. Which brings us right to Brock Purdy.
Who, wasn't lighting it up early.
Yeah.
The source material notes he was, 6 of 12 passing at one point?
Not great numbers, but his efficiency inside the 20, that's where he won the game. He didn't need volume to dominate the scoreboard.
His touchdowns were just there were clinics in situational football. The first one, that 2-yard rushing TD.
On the fake, yeah. The sources really highlighted his read there. He sees both defenders just collapse on the running back.
And he just calmly keeps it for the easy score.
Yeah.
That's poise.
Total poise. And then you have the 7-yard passing touchdown to Shawn Jennings.
Okay, this play design was brilliant. It's man coverage, the DB, Campbell, he has outside leverage on Jennings.
But the key, the absolute key to the whole play is what George Kittle does.
KD.
Yeah, KD releases hard to the inside.
And that just pulls the linebacker's eyes to the middle of the field, right?
For just a split second. And that's all the space Jennings needs. It's a perfect example of using a star player to create space for someone else.
And Jennings was busy all day. He had that other catch to the 40-yard line where he got absolutely clocked by Hickman. Pretty clearly trusts him.
No doubt. Now, on the Cleveland side, the QB situation was, let's just say it was more desperate.
Sanders finishes 15 of 24 for 145 yards. But the real volatility stat here is that he was the third different quarterback the Browns used that day.
The third. You just can't build any rhythm like that. It's impossible.
That said, they did manage one really beautiful offensive play.
The 34-yard touchdown pass to Fannin, yeah. That wasn't just a lucky bomb. The route itself was fantastic.
The commentary broke it down perfectly. It's an out and up, a wheel route.
Where he runs out, slows down just for a beat to bait the corner.
And then just explodes upfield. That little hesitation is what created all the separation. Beautifully done.
And they get the 2-point conversion right after Judkins' plan. So they were fighting, you know, they were trying to claw their way back in.
But at the end of the day, that inability to sustain a drive is what killed them.
And it all came crashing down late in the fourth. Sanders is facing this impossible fourth and 26. He needs 28 yards.
Just a backbreaker of a situation.
And he couldn't convert. Turnover on downs. And that, I mean, that was the ball game right there.
Let's talk about that Cleveland defense, though, because they're the reason this game was even close for so long.
Oh, they're elite. The metrics don't lie. They're number 3 in the league on third down and number 2 in overall pressure.
And you felt it. Myles Garrett got his sack on Purdy. They were bringing heat all day, really living up to the stats.
They were. But even the defense made some of those critical errors that just kill you in a tight game.
Like the game's first turnover. It wasn't an interception. It wasn't a fumble. It was just a dropped ball on 4th and 1.
A turnover on downs. Luke Gifford jumps on it for San Francisco. You cannot give away free possessions in a cold, windy game like this.
And look, even though San Francisco won, their O-line was not perfect. This is a real point of concern.
It is. The sources flagged this. The Niners line allowed 8 total pressures.
8. And that's tied for the second most they've allowed in a game since 2018.
That's a huge stat. It shows that even with Purdy getting the ball out fast, the protection was shaky, Keon White was getting in there. It's a real vulnerability against elite defense.
Definitely something to watch. Before we wrap it up, let's give a quick nod to some of the other guys mentioned. Larvidin, a rookie free agent.
From South Carolina, yeah. And Dylan Sampson, who was the SEC Offensive Player of the Year last season. It's always cool to see how the depth guys contribute.
So to synthesize this for you, that 26-8 score for San Francisco.
Yeah.
It was just a pure grind.
A total grind. They won by capitalizing on that massive special teams mistake and then just playing flawless, efficient football in short yardage situations.
Whether it was CMC running through 3 guys or Purdy with that perfect read on the fake TB.
Meanwhile, Cleveland's defense was good enough to kick them in it, but the offense was just... It was overwhelmed by the personnel chaos and the lack of consistency. Sanders, with only 145 yards passing, tells you everything.
So here's where it gets really interesting and something for you to think about. We talked about the conditions, the cold, the wind, and one of the commentators mentioned their own philosophy.
Yeah, that they would never wear gloves, no matter what.
No matter how cold it was.
Oh.
Because they insisted on having the feel of the ball.
Which raises a really fascinating question, right? In a game that's defined by wind and cold, where passing was tough, how much does that simple human element, that tactile feel, actually matter?
When the margin for error is basically 0, does that commitment to feel override the, you know, basic need for warmth and grip?
Are you better off with warm hands, or are you better off with that connection to the ball? You have to wonder how many passes were dropped or how many yards were lost because of that one little preference.
It's a fascinating layer. It proves that sometimes a game comes down, not to the X's and O's, but to personal comfort. Versus physics.
Something to chew on.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.